Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Alves, joined from a safe distance by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hey, hi, howdy.
And on the bullpen phone, Chris Zook.
Hey, I wouldn't miss it for the World Series.
Got the three-man booth here to wrap up the regular and, well, irregular regular season and postseason. So I know we've got, you know, tipping a cap, we got pouring one out. We need a new one about like a brushback pitch or something that we need to throw at Justin Turner. Like, what do we, or at Major League Baseball?
We're going to start with that. Wow.
Okay. I got to start with this.
You have to. What?
It has.
No, you don't have to. But I mean, it's all right. There's a thousand things going on.
There's a thousand things.
No, I mean, there's a thousand things going on, but it's still like, this is the most important thing. Yeah. The Dodgers won the World Series, but also like, this is the thing I'm going to remember. Not that the Dodgers won the World Series.
Oh, I don't think so.
That baseball dealt with this so poorly.
Well, yeah. Okay.
I had about 5 minutes of enjoying Dave Roberts and Clayton Kershaw hugging and then seeing.
I didn't even get the MVP. Like,
the ticker of Justin Turner. And then it was like, oh, wait, what? But wait,
he didn't even get to enjoy the MVP. That's how ridiculous it was.
Well, I don't know if we should enjoy that MVP pick, to be quite honest, but we'll get to that too. So. I guess if I'm going to throw the pitch, I'm throwing it at everyone because I mean, it's not just Justin Turner, right? Like
I think Michael, you're right about this. I think, let me just go right into this. Right. I was on both sides of this. I get sort of the once in a lifetime thing. Right. But as a couple days have gone by a bit, right. To think this out a bit, this is so 2020, right. We have two sides of everything right now, right? And to me, I would agree with this. The way this came down, maybe explain if people don't, but it was insane what happened. Insane. How does this happen in the middle of a game?
So Justin Turner, player for the Dodgers, he batted in the sixth, I think. He like hit a long one that, you know, was gloved at the warning track, like, in the sixth, and then he was gone from the game, and they showed like a defensive substitution, and at the time they didn't say why he was gone from the game. And my thought was, because it was like a one run game, is there a better glove? Like, what are they doing? Are they shifting things around? Then it comes out right after the game that he had tested positive for COVID, but was not notified until the game had already started.
Which is insane.
The second inning, I think the Major League Baseball said they told him.
Yeah.
But he played an extra, like, four innings.
Yes.
He sat in the dugout.
No, right. No, this is it. So the way I sort of read it a bit more is that there it was an inconclusive test. They retested, and then they finally got the final thing somewhere in the sixth or seventh in baseball called the Dodgers, and the Dodgers owners called the manager and then that's how he got pulled or whatever. I mean, regardless of all that stuff, I mean, the craziness of this is, how is it even getting to this stage in the first place?
How are they
place?
Starting a game with incomplete
right.
tests?
Like, isn't this the whole point of a bubble?
This is
right.
Right. Like we just watched the NBA conclude their season with the bubble.
And the NHL as well.
And the NHL.
And both were zero.
Prior to that. And we didn't have a circumstance like this. And what's astonishing to me, I mean, like the baseball one was muddled to begin with, right?
Sure.
Like they went through the regular season with like no bubble. And then when it came to the postseason, it was like two different bubbles, right? Because they set.
You can't know, really call it a bubble, though. They weren't really keeping the guys anywhere.
But then they started
in- no, they were actually, Brian. There is Tim Kershaw or Kirchin.
Clayton? Kim Kirchin.
Kirchin. Yeah.
Kirchin, right? He talked about he was in the bubble about this hotel that there's only very limited movement from the hotel to the ballpark and back and all that stuff. So they were trying to do a bubble. Obviously, it wasn't as secure as the NHL or NBA because that was bubble. But I mean, they did pretty good up to the last game. You know, that was the thing. They were you know, throughout a lot of the playoffs, it was zero, right? But I think that, I mean, let me just go one step fast into this and then we can go back to it. I mean, just thank goodness, I guess the Dodgers won game six, because what would have happened in game
yeah.
seven?
What do you do for like, game seven?
Like, I don't think there would have been a game seven.
And let Justin Turner come back and he's come into contact with all the Dodgers, right? And has been for like 2 days. So you can't possibly say that the Dodgers are safe. You can't possibly say that the Rays are safe because they've been, you know, playing in the same ballpark as Turner for the entire time. Like, what do you do?
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's the greatest what if, and I guess for Major League Baseball, they can thank Kevin Cash for that. And so that the Rays lost that game and they don't have to deal with that. But I mean, the whole situation, I mean, it goes back to Rob Manfred and they can't even get the end of the season right, because
I'm so glad that they booed him.
Oh, that was fantastic. That was priceless. And his reaction was even, you know, where Batman Batman kind of and Goodell sort of, they revel in it now. Like, I think Manfred was totally taken back. But the whole thing, it started from day one. Juan Soto was positive on the opening day. And so we get Justin Turner on the last day. So this kind of sums up 2020 in Major League Baseball. Like, they just couldn't get away from this. They did they finished a season, which a lot of us didn't think they were going to. So I guess congratulations on that. But, you know, you end up with a fiasco like this. And it kind of, it puts a damper on a really good story of the Dodgers winning the first, World Series in 32 years. And that's really what should be talked about. But this is as big, if not bigger, depending on who you talk to, right? And it's unfortunate because, you know, there was some really good baseball played over the last month.
Well, I kept sending text messages to you guys all the time about how freaking fun this World Series was and how it was like one of the best World Series in a long time. It was really incredible.
Okay. So it really was. And I'll be honest, is – maybe Michael is going to go to the MVP selection here. I've been curious. I don't know if there was a vote, if there was someone was announced or whatever. But why not the losing team having the MVP? I mean, you could make a case for that, couldn't you?
Has that historically happened? I'm not even.
It has happened in like in the NHL. I know that for sure. I'm not too sure if it's happened in the Major League Baseball, but I mean, because I'm going to
Bobby Richardson is the only player in World Series history to be named MVP on the losing team.
So
the 1960 New York Yankees.
Right. And that was memorable. The Pirates, you know, shocked the world there, winning in 1960, right?
Yeah.
Randy
Mazurowski, home
run. Rosarena. How about that? I pretty much try to butcher that, but it wasn't
bad. The thing with that is that, like,
I mean, he set – these are all-time records, right? Like, most home runs, most hits in a postseason.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but the fact of the matter is that they, A, still lost in six.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And B, there was many, many – perfectly good, if not great, candidates on the winning team.
There's no doubt. I'm just saying, if it really wasn't for him, there's a case to be made. Sure. Did they even get to the World Series, right? I mean, this guy kind of, when you nut it down a bit, the Rays is a scrappy team, you know, all the pitching changes and all that. But I mean,
sure,
he was the guy.
I'm not disagreeing.
But I would say this. I think I and I'm just being a little more devil's advocate. But if it went to a game seven and they would have lost, I think there'd have been a better case.
Yeah,
I would agree with you, Brian. But
probably
but
true.
I don't. Yeah, but I mean, it was just a phenomenal performance. I mean, came out of nowhere too. I mean, I think he texted us about something like his card is at $400 or something insane. I mean, it's absolutely bonkers. This guy 3 months ago. I mean, you who would have known this guy?
Well, certainly when we first mentioned his name on the show and I had to like go and look at like the Cardinals media guide to get a Rosarena, what was the card valued at that point when you looked it up, Brian?
Oh, it was like well over $400, but I'm actually going to go check right now.
Oh, no, but I mean like when we first
looked, I think the base card was something like 12 bucks or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Probably,
and
sure.
now like the base card is over like well over like $150 with like autos of him, autographs of him being like $400.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Oh, okay, so Michael, where are you going with the MVP? You didn't think it was
I thought there was three other candidates I would have put ahead of Seager.
Okay, so who would have them?
I would have put first of all Kershaw.
Yep.
Urias.
I would agree with that. Ooh, okay.
And Mookie Betts.
I'm gonna be honest. If I had a vote, I'd have been Mookie. It would have been Mookie for me.
Yeah, my vote would have been for Mookie as well.
Because right off the bat, the two stolen bases, he had timely hits.
Yeah, wasn't like his stat line.
Gem.
His stat line wasn't eye popping, but he did something in every single game
every
that made you go,
game.
"Wow,
game.
That changed every, that changed the way this game was
I
going."
I mean, the winning run.
Yeah.
Right. Is all Mookie, right? That's he does that on pure instinct, right? He takes the break. They're playing in and there's a play at the plate and he just beats it out. And just straight up athletic play. And
incredible.
And on top of it, that's why they got him there. Literally is to win a World Series. He won a World Series with the Boston Red Sox. And people shouldn't discount that ever about, you know, that championship feel. And one of the best players in Major League Baseball go to this uber team and kind of maybe helps to put him over the top there. I mean, all the other candidates, you're right. I think, Michael, they're all – everyone is different. But if I had a vote, I would have said Mookie just because of sort of how he – again, this is sort of – this may lend into the conversation of what happened Game 6 is, but sometimes the eye test is the best test. I mean – if you watch the six games in that series, he affected every game somehow. Either at the plate, in the
or with
field,
his glove.
All of the above, right? And just being Mookie Betts.
It was a really well-rounded performance in the World Series. And so that's why I thought of the offensive players, that would be the guy. But I just thought because it was such a tight series and there were some like really like first of all, the narrative around Kershaw for him to come in and pitch those two games he did. And then Urias, like multiple inning high leverage situations.
And I mean,
that's not getting the trust of like Roberts to like, he's not necessarily the closer, but he was the guy.
He was the closer. I mean, that's the right call to make, right? I mean, you know, Roberts has got a lot of grief over the years of not making it, kind of making interesting decisions, et cetera, et cetera. In game six, that was the right call. You stay with that guy until they get something off him, right? Because, I mean, you're not going to Jansen at all. Like, that, lock him away. He's not going back on that field after game four, right? And Urias was pitching lights out. And
no, you had Kershaw like warming up in the bullpen just in case. And you could kind of see like a way that it played out where he maybe did come in and he's the guy on the mound to close it off. But Roberts knew that Urias was dealing and just let it run. Like, he just was like, you know, don't get in front of this. Don't trip yourself up.
Right, and Mookie Betts hits that home run in the eighth inning, which is a huge run as an insurance, right? That I think helps Roberts to say, I'm going to stick with him in the ninth inning. Now we're up two, right? If it's a one-run game, maybe the
maybe make a change.
If they get if they get a hit or something, maybe I'm going to pull the trigger, right? Can we go back a little bit in game six and talk
about I mean, because what we're talking about is a manager who didn't get in front of in his own way and obviously on the other side of the field. And honestly, if it weren't for the Turner thing, the biggest question I would have after the game was not about MLB and about their testing. It would be the cash decision to pull Blake Snell.
I got to hear this from Brian because you're Mr. Analytics. Let's hear it.
My initial original thought was if the if that's what the math says, then the math is wrong. But you know that they shouldn't have pulled him. That you have to reevaluate what you do in that situation, because if the analytics are telling you to pull an ace, a Cy Young Award winner, in the fifth inning with 71 pitches
and nine strikeouts at that point,
strikeouts, including six strikeouts against the three guys you're about to just face, then the math is not doing you any service. But I've listened to a couple of things from people that I respect a lot, including Ben Lindbergh, Sam Miller, Zach Cram, you know, baseball journalist, analytic people who I trust quite a bit about this thing, this kind of stuff. And they all seem to agree that pulling Snell then, because of how ineffective he is the third time through the order, was not necessarily the wrong call. It was who they put in was the wrong call. Why in the world would you put
bring in Anderson?
Why would you bring, but who's been really bad this playoffs, who had allowed seven runs in his last seven appearances? If you're going to pull that move, like, why not Diego Castillo? Why not literally anybody else than the guy who's imploding? Except the guy who's imploding right now.
So I mean, obviously the easy take is, you know, Cash was totally off his rocker doing that. But I won't go there because I've read a lot about this, and I think I'll be honest, is I thought this was quite a baseball move about, you know, if you're into it, about, you know, this was the game within the game. And I'll say two things about it. One, Snell never went six innings plus, never went past six innings at all this year. And this is what the Tampa Bay Rays are. And so you live by the analytics, you die by the analytics. The deal, what happened is it didn't pass the smell or eye test, right? Even all that you can say all the stuff that, you know, he never went past six. This is what the Rays do.
Yes.
They maybe all that stuff. The problem with it is this guy was dealing and in baseball, in the world, if this is your last game, you don't play again. You might not play again until 2022. They might strike next year, right? Like, this is the game to get to game seven. Even if you knew and Cash had it, I mean, he didn't miss a beat. Once that he gave up that hit, that was it. He's gone, right? And Snell didn't like it. But I think where the problem is, just for the layperson or even people who are in baseball a lot, they go, how can you do this? That guy has barely pitched over 70 pitches into the sixth inning, and the problem is no one was even close to touching. Like, their big three guys were 0 for 8 for the top four guys with six strikeouts. It was crazy how good he was. Now, I get it. Maybe he implodes and all that, but it all happened anyways. They still didn't win the game, right?
Yeah, so, I mean,
I get the cause
and
effect.
I'm not saying that's the move
that,
I would have.
The problem is right. I mean, I just think in a regular season that all makes sense. There is something about a game six World Series.
Yeah, I was listening to CeCe Sabathia talk on the Bill Simmons podcast. They recorded a conversation right after the game, and he said, you know, as a pitcher, like, yes, you're held to pitch counts at certain points, but it's so that you have something in the tank for a moment like this, right? Like, yes, he hadn't pitched past the sixth, but like, if he's dealing at that point, like, you let that pitcher go to like 130 pitches. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like,
I mean, yeah.
If it's your Cy Young ace in the deciding game of the World Series, that's when that's all of it. He leaves it on the field.
That's what I would have done too. I mean, you either let the guy Matt Harvey himself or you let the guy Jack Morris himself, but you,
right.
That's for me, that's your, like, that's a ride or die guy. That's the guy that you're going with. I don't disagree with the decision that they made. It's not the move I would have made, but I completely understand it based on the math. I would not have made that move myself. I certainly, if I did make that move, I wouldn't have gone to Anderson. None of it really matters because you need to score more than one run.
This is the other thing you talked about.
Yes, that is true. But here's the thing. You can win a game 1-0.
Like, sure.
You know what I mean? Like the Dodgers shut them down.
But you were never, even no matter how good Blake Snell was pitching, you were never, never going to win that game 1-0. You weren't. The Dodgers are just too good and too deep with their bats. You were never going to win that game 1-0.
Well, how about this? If he gets a 7 or 8 – and then they get Castillo comes in, right? Is that it? Their closer?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard.
I still don't think they were going to win that.
But he was very dominant.
Mookie's going to hit that home run, regardless of who he's up against. Mookie's going to hit that home run.
Mookie hit nothing there for the first two times he was up. Like, I get it. I'm just saying it's a dominant start of that game. And you will. It's your biggest what if you're a Rays fan, right?
Sure.
I mean,
yeah,
you
no
just,
doubt.
You sort of. I guess the thing is, what I was listening to someone on the radio, and again, this goes a bit to the old school, but there is something to be said about Jack Morris and stuff like that. I mean, this is the ace. Like, they actually had the advantage against the Dodgers. They had. They were just doing a. Who did they have to start? It was just a starter game, right? They didn't have their ace. They kept Bueller for game 7 if they needed him, right?
And Gonsolin, and they had Kershaw warming up in the bullpen.
Right, exactly. So the Dodgers kind of gave up 2-6 by saying not gave up, but they just we're not going to put our they had a good starting pitchers, but they just decided not to. At the end of the day, I mean, hey, I get why this is what the Rays have done. This was their MO all the time. Really, once that happened, you could see the Dodgers just perked up, right? Because they just knew, hey, we don't have to face this guy again. We'll have a better chance against anyone they throw out now. Plus, the Dodgers were hitting their relievers as the series was going on here, right?
You know, for every single Jack Morris, though, there's a Matt Harvey and there's a Pedro in 2003, right?
There's no doubt about it. I'm just saying the problem is that was their best chance, right?
Like, I agree. That's the move I would make. I'm in agreement with you. I'm just saying that there is just as much risk leaving him in as taking him out. They made the move in taking him out. They went to the wrong guy.
They doubled down the wrong way, basically, right? Yeah. And so the beauty of baseball is why we love it always, and the people who are into baseball is because of these little moves, right? This move, and this wasn't a little move, it's a big move.
It's going to go down in history. We're going to talk about this for 25 years.
Sure, exactly. Do we have time here? Because I know it kind of gets washed out now because they didn't win the series. But please tell me both you were up watching the game 4 end of that game. Of the series, right?
Yeah,
the game 4 is it was to the because it turned over to midnight in the East Coast when that happened. I believe it was 34 years to the day of Bill Buckner's the game, and that ending to that game was one of the most. I mean, I thought the Dodgers lost the series. I thought, oh, that's it. And you got to give the Dodgers credit for bouncing back and winning 5 and 6 because a lot of times. Maybe it helped that they just played the next day and all that stuff. They can wash it away. But a lot of times in series, like the momentum, like Bill Buckner game, well, the Red Sox, they didn't bounce back. They didn't bounce back and the Mets won the series, right? But the way that game ended in game 4 is one of the most – I just read something here. It is the first time ever in World Series history, 2 errors on the same play that resulted in a walk-off loss.
There was so insane. Many mistakes. It wasn't even just the 2 errors.
Well, the big one for me is Jansen.
No cutoff.
Not only this, because there's a great shot of him. They just focus on him. Is that he goes down to his knees after he gives up the hit? okay, I think he's losing his mind because he thinks the game's over or something. It's not. And then he's literally watching the play. And when Will Smith loses the ball, this is where he should back up. It's just a normal play. Hey, he stays on third. It's a base hit. A base hit gets two runs in. It was an insane end of that game. That actually the 7th, 8th, 9th on was pretty crazy in that game.
Yeah, one of the best series I think I've ever seen.
We had like so many different kinds of games within that series, right? For a 6-game series, it had a lot of shifts in momentum and crazy plays and just like a couple of like dominant performances and it was a fantastic series.
It really was. I just want to read one other stat here about that game 4. It was the first World Series game to feature 3 lead changes from the 6th inning on. And that was just game 4, right? Game 5 was different. Game 6, I mean, Kershaw, I mean, let's say this. Even if you weren't a Dodger fan, you're cheering the Rays or whatever, you got to give it up for Kershaw, right? The narrative, all this, he couldn't get it done and all that stuff. Well, he showed up this year, right? And maybe because he didn't have all the pressure of being the ace and the weight of being Kershaw, he pitched like people expected him to. He was 4-1 in the postseason, 2-0 in the World Series, and he actually stopped them in Game 5, right? He got out of jams.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're never going to talk about
that game.
We're never going to talk about his playoff failures again. We won't.
No.
There's no reason to. The guy's a World Series champion and could have been World Series MVP. That's it.
And he won 2 of those games in the World Series. It's not like he was just a bit
best player. Pitcher of the generation. And thank goodness we're never going to have to talk about this playoff stuff again.
I'm going
to
say him and Verlander, right?
You got to lump Scherzer.
Yeah, that's right. All 3. That's right. They all won World Series in the last little bit. I totally agree. But I mean, Kershaw, you can make a case of him being maybe number 1 now at the World Series, right? If you go through his
Well, I mean, there was
resume.
What, 8 or 9 year stretch where his ERA went down every single year? That's insane.
Yeah.
That's
so
incredible.
Also insane was the overlay of his 3 pitches.
Tunneling. Oh, my God.
Tunneling. And just the fact that, like, what did he shave off? 20 miles per hour between the 3?
Yeah.
You
lost me there. Maybe as some listeners here. What do you mean by tunneling? I don't quite. Is that sort of where his release point is?
No, pitch tunneling is just how long the pitches look the same until they split.
Gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
So like his fastball and his fastball, changeup, slider, curveball all look identical until they're about 10 feet from the plate, which makes it so impossible to hit as a hitter, because if you don't know until 10 feet before the plate what the heck is coming, it's impossible to adapt. It's impossible to adjust. You just don't know.
A difference of like 20 miles per hour between the 3 pitches.
You're just swinging at ghosts.
I'll say this: if you know, it's great that he sort of, that can get thrown away into the trash can, just like the piece of metal they won. And you know,
my favorite moment of the whole series was watching Dave Roberts give him a hug and say, "I'm so happy for you, man."
Yes,
because I just, it's like, that's a guy who's been a perpetually he's a good ball player and a good guy by all accounts, and then had this unfair narrative around him because it turns out his opponents cheated on him.
Yep.
And completely affected his like status in the game unfairly. And so for him to get to do this and to show that narrative is BS and to put it to rest. And like, this is, cause that was going to be in it, like the first line of his obituary, probably, right?
Sure.
Like his postseason
couldn't get it
troubles.
Done the playoffs.
Best pitcher
now,
not to win a World Series.
Strike that line from the obit, because this guy is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, he already was, but
now, like, it's just solidified. Like he's just a lock. But I'll tell you one thing. You know what's beautiful about sports and baseball, especially those 2 games? They were down 3-1 against the Braves, right? They had to rally back even to get in the World Series. But the Dodgers, you got to give them some credit. After game 4, I mean, they could have just folded. The Rays have all the momentum to win 5 and 6 to win the World Series. But not only that, I mean, look at all the heartache they've had over the last 3 or 4 years, right? You know, especially they lost a couple of cheaters. They lost to 2 cheaters. The Nationals got them at the end last year, right? And, you know, they could have folded against the Braves even this series or this run through. And they just found a way to win. And for once, you know, sort of, I mean, even in a shortened season, you got to give it to them. If you like them or not, they were the best team. And the best team actually won the World Series. Doesn't happen a lot, really. And that's the one thing about it. I mean, it's sort of after all this chaotic of the 2020 and the shortened season, COVID, all this, they were the best team, and they somehow backed it up.
It's crazy that this has happened twice. We've had 3 bubbles, and the best team has won all 3 times, right? The best team won in hockey, right. The best team won in basketball, and the best team won in baseball. I have some thoughts as to why that is. I think we're running out of time, though, so I don't. A
couple minutes. So let's.
I won't delve into that specifically. I can save that for next time, but because it's more of a roster building thing. But it's just kind of crazy how much it reminds me of the Tampa run, right? That like you give talent enough kicks at the can, and eventually talent will win out. That's how this Dodger team felt like.
Yeah, and then maybe there's something about that, you know, of this, the uniqueness of these seasons that, you know, the cream rose to the top. Like some teams just really faltered, right? I mean, you know, like the Dodgers, like I think, you know, years like last year, they lost to the Nationals and they were heavy favorites in that, right? I mean, you know, and they didn't find a way. And against the Braves, if that was any other year, maybe they lose that series 3-1 down. But they found a way. They scrapped their way back. And even after Game 4, I think people are going to overlook it a bit. But Game 4 could have been a really devastating loss. Like, that's – like, they won that game. They should have been up 3-1. They blew that last inning. Like, they just totally – that last out, really. And they bounced back, and they won the 2 games they had to, and they became the champions. I think there's something to be said about it. And it's also, let's be honest a bit, it's nice to kind of see – them, they haven't won in 32 years, right? I mean, they've always been there, but the St. Louis, the Miami Marlins have won 2 times before since them, right? Like, I mean, geez, like, this is crazy, right? So the Dodgers, you know, they're a big team, like, you know, like an original 6 team sort of baseball with the Yankees and the Cardinals and stuff like that. And so I think it's nice to have that. And LA gets, it was either going to be LA or Tampa Bay who'd won 2 titles within a span of a month. So pretty,
yeah, that's a pretty wild thing too, right? That either way it shook out, it was going to be one city with 2 trophies. So,
well, you know, I'm glad, you know, and isn't that symbolic at the end of it that you have a guy who has COVID raising the piece of metal up there, you know, to end the season. Now that pretty much sums up Major League Baseball and 2020 for this year, doesn't it?
That does.
Mike, so, do we have enough time to talk about Puig?
Do you want to save that for next week? Because I'm just looking at the clock here, and we're going to have to...
Well, let's save that to next week. That's a good teaser post-season for next week, because I don't even know what that's about. So,
I mean, it's disappointing. It's disappointing.
Oh, okay.
I'm really upset about it, and I just want to say that, like, I just want to say I don't support him anymore or because of what he did. And that's where I'll leave it.
I'll have to look it up, and that's a good teaser for next week.
All right. That's it for us this week. Last hat tip to the LA Dodgers for their World Series win. And thanks for tuning in to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM.
Strike 3. You're out.